What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Clemens with a Z podcast. And this episode is going to be a message for the week of March 25th. Now, I know it's been a few weeks since I've done one of these messages, and it's really been, it's just been, I've been busy. I've been really busy with interviews, which has been amazing. I just want to take a second to sort of sit in that space of just gratitude for all of you guys that have come on to share your stories about your life in our church. Also, the couple of dads that have come on to talk about being a father and learning in that. I think there's been some healing and some growing that's been going on. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I hope that if you guys are listening and you want to come share, come on. Let's do the more the merrier. Let's go. And so today's message is kind of about just something really cool that I've been seeing as I've been studying a specific part of Jesus' life. And I wanted to share that with you guys because I think it's important for now. It's important for us to understand kind of more about who this guy is that we're supposed to follow, you know, if we want to, you know, if we're called to follow. And it was just a really cool story that, like, I've read, you know, 100 times, especially nowadays, being that it's the Holy Week, it's we're leading up to Easter. It's just the story of Jesus, coming into Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry. And in a lot of ways, I think this path, this part kind of gets, I don't know if I remember so much this story, this part of Jesus' life and the story leading up to the cross being that important, but I was just called to it for some reason. I don't know why. I do kind of know why. The main reason is because it's always just struck me, because in the triumphal entry, Jesus approaches Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And I always thought that was pretty, as a kid, that was funny. But as I've kind of dug a little deeper, done some research, done some study, I found that this moment in Jesus's time was very important in what he did, how he did it, and what he said that sort of deepened my, I don't want to say love, but just deepened my respect for Jesus and deepened my belief that this guy is someone that I want to follow and that I can still find, you know, lessons from your life now. And so, like always, when I do these, I want to take a few seconds of silence to sort of hold the space for what I want to say and for all of us that are here in this moment now. And that what comes out is what needs to come out, and what doesn't come out, it's okay. Okay, now before I get into sort of the meat of the scripture and this message, I want to kind of set the stage. Because when, so Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. And I do want to give a quick shout out to Marty Solomon and the Bema podcast. This was the sort of catalyst for research and study for me. In specific, for the specific message, if you guys are looking to deepen your study of the Bible, I highly recommend their podcast. I re recommend their book, Marty's book, Asking Better Questions of the Bible. So Yeah, it's just helped me a ton and shined such a light on this for me. So grateful that that's out there. So you have Jesus coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, and this specific time was pretty intense for the city of Jerusalem, because what you have is you have, millions of Jews, or more than a million of Jews, coming to celebrate the Passover, their deliverance from a superpower. Now, Jerusalem at this time, you have Rome, which is their current superpower, and they pretty much control this whole region. And Jerusalem specifically was a very challenging city for Rome, because it was filled with a lot of people that did not want to be run by Rome. And so you have the city with a million people or so that are celebrating being free from a superpower, and it could probably be very intimidating for the Roman Empire. And if I were the leaders of Rome, I'd be nervous about this time. And so they're nervous. And so what they do is they have Pontius Pilate come to sort of oversee a sort of a show of force, a sort of image to say, look, you guys can have this festival. I know you're celebrating, but remember, we're still in charge. So Pilate would come down to Jerusalem to oversee all this. And I want to focus, because this is what I found out, I want to focus on how Pilate showed up to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be doing that with sort of, and then showing how Jesus approached Jerusalem as kind of like a compare contrast. So you have Pilate coming in, and like most leaders of those times, they would travel with a lot of pomp, show of force. There would be soldiers, trumpeters, banners, heralds, and they would come riding on a white stallion, more than likely. And it was important that he rides in on a white stallion, because that is a show of force. A white stallion symbolizes war, military conquest. Basically, he's riding in this way to send a message to the Jews. Keep it under control. Understand, we will still crush you if you get out of control. I think anyone seeing that would probably get the point. They'd get the picture. And I do want to point out that physically, if you look at where Pilate is coming from, he's approaching Jesus or Jerusalem from the west. And so now I want to pick up, and I want to sort of get into Jesus approaching Jerusalem, and you'll get a cool little picture of that. And I'm going to be using a few scriptures here, and so just bear with me for a second. But yeah, the first scripture I'm going to read is Matthew, and it's Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. It says, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. Once you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say that the Lord needs them, and immediately he will send them. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. Then they laid their robes on them. He sat on them. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then Jesus, who went ahead of him, and the crowds who went, I'm sorry, the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, who is this? And the crowd kept saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So you can see that Jesus is riding a little bit different than Pilate. Jesus is coming in on a donkey, which was always really funny to me that he would ride a donkey. But it's important that he was riding on a donkey. And if you look in verse 5, they talk about spoken through the prophet, which might be fulfilled. And he says something, and that's from the passage in Zechariah 9:9. And it's also important because of him riding in on the donkey, because as a white horse symbolizes military conquest and war, a donkey symbolizes service, suffering, peace, and humility. So you see, you have two very different leaders coming into Jerusalem, symbolizing two very different things. You have Pilate on his horse, Jesus on his donkey. Have Pilate with soldiers, trumpeters, banners, heralds, Jesus probably with, he was with his disciples. Pilate trying to instill fear, and Jesus trying to show peace, favor, trying to lead through the opposite of what is expected. And it's always so powerful, images like this, and when people do the opposite of what's expected. And I think that there's such a more lasting impact to instances like this, because anyone can lead by fear and conquest. And I'm thinking about Game of Thrones while I think about Pilate, and that's because if you think about the Game of Thrones, it was just constantly just one person trying to take power, one person showing power. He has power for a while, then it's taken from them. And it's just this cyclical thing. And how, anyone can take power through force, but it's always easily taken. And it's never a lasting impact. And so I think it was important for Jesus to show that he's coming as different. He's coming. Sir, he's coming as a symbol of service, peace, humility. And people were resonating with that. And I'm going to go into a couple other passages because I want to sort of talk about how they were resonating with that. And it's interesting because I think that it shows sort of this kind of human nature. Now, I went to John 12, verse 13, because it's in, I'm talking about triumphal entry, but it's a little bit different. It says that here they took palm branches in verse 13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. And there's in Matthew they talked about they were laying out robes and branches from the trees. Now, palm branches were a specific symbol. And in some places that I was researching and studying, you had this group of the Jewish people. They were called zealots, and they were kind of like the radicals, radical party, as you could say, down there. And so their symbol was a palm branch. And from what I was looking at this and learning, that it was almost a, since you have these radicals that they don't want to be led by anybody else, it was a treasonable offense to show a palm branch. And so you have all these people throwing palm branches, and they're thinking, I think that what I can gather from this is it looks like they were thinking that, okay, Jesus is here, he's the Messiah, he's coming, he's going to overthrow this empire, because that's what they were waiting for, someone to save them again. Yes, he wants to save them. He wants to free them. But I think he's trying to show that the freedom from another way. It's not freedom necessarily from the empire per se, or these outside influences. It's a freedom on the inside. And so you have Jesus coming in. He's seeing all of this. And in Luke, they went a little bit deeper because. And this author writes in Luke 19, 41 through 44. It's interesting because he says, as he approached and he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. For the days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave one stone on another in you because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. And he's essentially saying, you guys just don't get it. I'm not here to do what you think I'm trying to do. Because they didn't need another empire. They didn't need to be the empire. They didn't need to be the establishment. Those type of things come and go, and they fall, and then someone comes up again. Time and time again, you can look at our history and see that. And even now in Christianity, I think I still see that. And it's kind of why I have this conflicting relationship with the whole festivities of Easter, because I think where, or what I'm seeing, are a bunch of empires, a bunch of establishments that are not freeing us. They're not showing peace. You know, this whole thing becomes a show. And it's challenging to feel like there's a place for me to go or a place for us to go, but I think Jesus did break it down for us and did something incredibly powerful by his act and his metaphors and what he was showing. We're trying to free us from those things, and we keep putting ourselves into them. And so my hope is that as we look to Jesus, we can understand that we don't need the empire, we don't need the establishment. We can worship, we can follow without. And I even want to take out the worship, because I think that we were never called to worship Jesus. We were only called to follow him. And so as I wrap this up, I want to kind of introduce, there was this cool thing that I learned, and I once again back to the Marty and the Bema podcast. And so there was this in Matthew, you'll notice there's two donkeys. There's the donkey and the colt. Yeah, the donkey and the colt. There's all this speculation of why would Jesus, did Jesus ride two donkeys? I don't know. It was pretty funny as I looked. It's like passage or like commentary after commentary after commentary on this like one thing. But there is this literary device that Jewish writers would do, or there was two. And so when there's two, it's almost like, let me get my note so I say this right. When there's two of something or additional character, it's sort of like it's a way to invite you as the reader or the listener to a moment of decision. And so it's kind of like with this second donkey, Jesus is saying, or the writer is trying to get you to say, okay, are you going to ride with him? What do you want to do? Do you want to follow this leader? Something based on total opposite of what everybody else is basing their life on. And so that's kind of the invitation. And it's the invitation that was always there to follow him. Base your life on things that are different. And I think the things that he's showing us are things that are connecting us to what's true for us, true for people, true for whatever this is. And so that's what I'm going to be thinking about this Easter. Less about all of these things that get in the way of what he was really trying to show us. A way of service, a way of peace, a way of humility, a way of love, a way of connection, a way of humanity and freedom. So I'll close with some silence, as always. So thank you guys for listening, for your support. And until next time, be excellent to each other. Peace.